Turin points out that in every parsha in the Chumash after the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, his name appears in the Chumash. Adab Hashem Moshe Leima, and so on. All the stories that are related. So the Baal Turin points out this is the only parsha where Moshe Rabbeinu's name doesn't appear after his birth. Before he's born, of course, his name doesn't appear. So what is it supposed to represent? So the quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon that usually most of the time Parshas Tetzave falls out, Zayin Adar, the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, falls out on the week of Parshas Tetzave. That's the date of the death of Moshe Rabbeinu when he left this world. So as a remnant for that, the name doesn't appear because he disappeared from the face of the earth. What is that supposed to represent? So the Baal Turin talks about that. Yunus. The mitzvah of lighting the menorah. Has to be fulfilled with channel Zayzoch Kos Islamo. You have to have dafka olive oil. In the beginning of Perek Bamem Adlikin, the Mishnah lists which wicks and which oils may not be used for the purpose of Hadlokas Neir Shabbos because they're not going to burn well. We're afraid that the candles may go out, so you'll be left sitting in the dark. We won't be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Einik Shabbos. Or we are concerned that it may flicker and may get diminished, and the person may forget in Shema Yata, Xera Shema Yata. So the Gemara says that when you light the menorah, you shouldn't use any of those psilus hashmanim shama chachamim eim adlikim ahem b'shabbos zuhu adinami in the Beis HaMikdash eim adlikim ahem. So Rebbe Akiva Eger and the Gilgan Hashas on the side of the Gemara asks Akasha, what do you mean? Hashash, but it may go out. You can't use any other kind of oil because the pasuk says you need shemiz aizach kosis lamor. You can't use peanut oil or cottonseed oil or the other kinds of oil. So the fair shas be shemiz aizach. Maybe the memory in the Gemara in the first daf in the Bamem Adlik, maybe you should say psilois shamach hachomim, the wicks that you're not allowed to use for Shabbos, you're not allowed to use in the Beis HaMikdash because you want the menorah to burn nicely. So to say shmoni, that the oils that may not be used on Shabbos may not be used in the Beis HaMikdash only because of this reason. No, better reason. You won't be out to the mitzvah. That's Rabbi Kivega's comment on the side of the Gemara. So the Pashto says that it's certainly correct. So some want to suggest that Rabbi Yeruchim Perla has a long discussion over this in his comments on the Sefer Mitzvah of Sadigun. He makes a very wild suggestion. He's not happy with it either. He quotes a medrash, an obscure medrash, which seems to imply that the Shem is Aizach, it's only Lahatchila. And the Ikar Adin, if you want to use cottonseed oil, you want to use peanut oil or some other kind of oil, it'll also be acceptable. So that's what the Gemara. But the Evid, if you don't have Shem is Aizach, so you can be Yotzei the Mitzvah with other oils. See, that's what the Gemara says. If you want to substitute another kind of oil, you shouldn't use one of those inferior oils that the Mishnah lists off in Masechah Shabbos that may not be used for Halbokas Nevi Shabbos because it may not burn well. So the menorah may go out in the middle of the night. But the Pashto certainly is not like that Mashmois and the Medrash. Pashto says, like Rabbi Kivega said, that the Shem and Zayis is Li Kuvah. That's all Pip Shukai. The bulk of today's Sedra, the halachas of today's Sedra that are Ladoris, are about the Big Day Kuhuna, that there were two uniforms for the Kohanim. The Kohen Gadol had one set of Shmoina Begadim, and the Kohen Hedyot had a set of Arbor Begadim. There was in the days of the first Beis HaMikdash, there was an institution of a Mashuach Mechama who had some of the dinim like a Kohen Gadol, some of the dinim like a Kohen Hedyot. So the Gemara says that he wears Abob Godim. When he does Avodah Beis HaMikdash, he wears Abob Godim, he does not wear Shmoina Begadim. What's the idea behind he doesn't wear any Big Day Kuna at all when he goes to the battlefront? Big Day Kuna are only when you're doing Avoid on the Beis HaMikdash. The Psukim indicate, the Gemara and Sanhedrin learns out from the Psukim, that Bizman Shebigdeim Alein Kunosim Alein, Ein Bigdeim Alein, Ein Kunosim Alein. If a Kohen comes into the Beis HaMikdash and he'll do Avoidah without any of the Big Dekuna, or even if he's wearing most of the Big Dekuna but he's not wearing all, if he's a Mechusa Begadim, or Huad Dinami, if he's a Miyuta Begadim, so the whole Avoidah is possible. What's the reason why Mechusa Begadim, the Avoidah is possible? So the Gemara debunks from the pasuk because bisman shem migdei malayim ain kunasim malayim, and is considered like a zar, and there's nisa b'dei shemayim, just like if a zar is a non-kohen, if a non-kohen will be makruv karbonus in the beis hamikdash. So the pasuk says hazar hakorev yumas. Hazar means a non-kohen. Hakorev means will be makruv karbonus. Yumas means nisa b'dei shemayim. Some translate the pasuk wrong, that if a non-Jew enters the temple, he's put to death. It's not a bad pshat, just that the three words that are wrong. Hazar, hakarv, yumas. Hazar does mean a non-Jew, means a non-kohen. Hakarv does mean he walks in, it means he's makor kabanas, and yumas means b'dei shamayim, doesn't mean b'dei adam. Otherwise it's not a bad pshat. Just that every word is wrong. During the period of the Second Temple, they used to have a sign up that they didn't allow non-Jews to enter the temple, and if a non-Jew would enter the temple, they would put him to death. What kind of evidence? It's not based on this pasuk at all. They have such evidence in this man baishim. As makliyansh, shalom eradin. They feel it's bizoyan to let a non-Jew enter the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, so they warned them in advance. They said they're going to put him to death. It is okay. So bizoyan to the Beis Hamikdash to have a nachri walk in. Halachim agalach. They sure shouldn't let agalach walk in. But that's not what the pshat and the pasuk is. Hazar karav yumas, and the pasuk means that if a non-kohen does hakravas hakarbanas, it's misa b'dei shamayim. So the Gemara says that the same punishment misa b'dei shamayim applies if a kohen is makrav karbanas, he's a bona fide kohen, but he's not wearing the big tikkun, because this man sheim yigdeim aleihem ain kunasim aleihem, they don't have the din of kedushas kohen. That's a famous kasha that the Bali Atesis talk about. The Mordechai in Gittin quotes on an incident that on one occasion, a Kohen, a student of Rabbi Natam, Yotzak Maim, Rabbi Natam, he put, Rabbi Natam wanted to eat his bagel for lunch. So one of the Talmidim poured water. They didn't have a sink with running water. They had to go schlep water from the well, and they had to have a bucket and pour the water. They had no faucet. So one of the Talmidim filled up a cup of water and he was pouring the water under Rabbi Natam's hands that he should wash until it was done. So the Talmud happened to be a Kohen. So they asked the Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam had a student, Rabbi Peter. Peter asked Tam. Shal Rabbi Petas, Rabbi Natam, that how did he allow the Kohen to pour water on his hands? There is a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi that says that Hamishtamish B'Kohen Mo'al, that if you allow a Kohen to service you, it's a violation of Me'ilah. You're not allowed to. There are more quotes that at the end of Simen Kuf Chav Ches in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Nesiyas Kapayim, so the last Ramo in the Simen, he quotes this from the Talmud Yerushalmi, Hamishtamish B'Kohen Mo'al. So that's where they asked Rabbeinu Tam, how was he allowed to do this? So Rabbeinu Tam said, the guy's not wearing big dekuna, it's okay. Bizman Sheim Migdei Malei Men Kunas Amlein. So he said, so if he's not a Kohen, so he's allowed to be Metami L'Meisim and he can marry a Grusha? What do you mean he doesn't have a din of Kohen? Rabbi Natam gave a different answer. He said, well, a fellow's Michael on his cover. The coin is Michael on his cover. So what did Rabbi Natam mean by the first answer? That Bizman Sheim Igdeim Aleim Ein Kenosam Aleim. The Talmud asked a good kasha. Bizman Sheim Igdeim Aleim is only a din with respect to Avodas HaKarbonis. That a Mechus of the Godim is Avodas and Mechulelis and Misa B'dei Shemayim because it's Dina Kizar. What does it have to do with Hamishtamish B'Koyin Moab? Rav Soloveitchik said a biur, this is how it says the Aruch HaShulchan and others suggest this pshat, that what the Rabbi Natan was saying was that there are two levels of Kedushas Kuna. There's the Kedushas Kuna Shebamigdush and the Kedushas Kuna Shebigvulin. But the Kedushas Kuna Shebigvulin, to be permitted to eat truma, or to be forbidden to be Metambil Meisim, or to be forbidden to marry all the Noshim HaAsuras, the Suri Kuna, Isha Zayna Vachalola, Rusha, and so on. So that you don't need digde kuna, even Bizman Shein Migdei Malayim. He has Kedushas Kuna Shebig Vulin. But in order to be endowed with Kedushas Kuna Shebamigdosh, for that you have to have Bizman Shebigdei Malayim. So what's the relevance, what's the significance of Kedushas Kuna Shebamigdosh? And number one, with respect to Hakrovas Hakarbonis, if he only has a Kedushas Kuna Shebig Vulin, if he's not wearing digde kuna, he doesn't have this additional higher level of Kedushas Kuna Shebamigdosh, he can't be Makro Karbonis. And number two, Me'ilah. The Yerushalmi didn't say Osir Hishtamish B'Koyin. The Yerushalmi says Hamishtamish B'Koyin Mo'al. Why does he use the Lashon Me'ilah? Me'ilah means if you're Nenef and Mikachi Amigdosh, if you have Anor from something from the Beis Amigdosh. So that's what the Rabbi Natam understood, that the Isser of the Yerushalmi, Hamishtamish B'Koyin Mo'al, only applies to Kedushas Kuna Shebamigdosh. If he only has Kedushas Kuna Shebigvulin, if he does not wear Big Dekuna, so you can't say that there's a Din of Me'ilah. The Talmud didn't appreciate the answer the Rabbein and Tam said. So he asked them, why is the Kohen forbidden to marry a Grusha? Why is the Kohen forbidden to be Metam and Mason if he's not wearing the Kohen? The answer is that doesn't depend on Grusha's Kunisha Bambigusha. That depends on Grusha's Kunisha Bigvum. But Rabbein and Tam saw that the Talmud didn't appreciate the answer, the original answer that he gave, which he thought was the correct answer. He gave the Oyde Shlom another answer. The fellow was Meichel on his cover. That's a further discussion. Is that correct or not? The second answer, Rabbein and Tam, should we accept that answer? And whenever the Kohen is masking, so we permit him to service the non-Kohen. There's no issue. That's a discussion. The din, a mechusa begodim, let's say a Kohen Gadol is only needed on Yom Kippur to do the Avodah. All year long you don't really need a Kohen Gadol. You never need a Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah. And even with respect to the Par Helam Dovashal Tzipa, the fine Kohen Mashiach, that's described in Parshas Vayikra, and it says that the Kohen Gadol does the Avodah. So the Tosfos in Megillah quotes from the Toras Kohanim on that pasuk that it's not to be taken literally, that it's not necessary to have a Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah, neither on Par Helam Dovashal Tzipa, nor on the Par Kohen Mashiach. The only time, once a year, you need a Kohen Gadol is for the Avodah Yom Kippur. All year long you don't need. So what if a Kohen Gadol wants to do the Avodah today? You don't really need a Kohen Gadol. So let's say he'll wear Abu Abgadim instead of wearing Shmoneh Abgadim. So the Gemara says that it's Avodasa Mechulelas on his Madrega. If he's supposed to be a Kohen Gadol, he's only wearing big the Kohen Hedyog, he's called a Mechusa Abgadim. And the Avodah will be Mechulelas. It doesn't matter the fact that you don't even need a Kohen Gadol. If he's a Kohen Gadol, he has to wear big day Kohen Gadol. So that's the Gemara it has in Zvachim at the end of Sanhedrin. The Gemara has that dinner. And Mechus HaBegodim is Dina Kizar. And Miyut HaBegodim is also no good. The Gemara in the second parak in Zvachim has all of Dinim. And Miyut HaBegodim is also no good. They say that the Chafetz Chaim towards the end of it, he lived very long. I think in the New York Times, they showed me the obituary from the time, not the original, they showed me a Xerox copy of the obituary. So when they wrote up the death of the Chafetz Chaim, they wrote that the sage died at the age of 105. So I think that's a little exaggerated. He wasn't 105. He was pretty old, but he wasn't 105. He was close to 100, I think. He was very old. So towards the end of his life, he couldn't see well. He had difficulty seeing. So they wanted to get him a pair of glasses. He should be able to see. So he refused to. He said he hopes that maybe he'll be zechut in kabbal pnei mashiach tzekeno. He's echad to be makav karbonis on the base of Amigdosh, and if they wear glasses, he was choshish that may be miyut of God. It may be that he's supposed to wear a big dekuna, and you're not allowed to wear any extra of God, so he was afraid that maybe the glasses would be a b'china of miyut of God. Then Itziv writes in one of his svarim that he thinks it's a machlekes Rashi and the Rambam regarding the din of miyut of God. Rashi learns the Gemara Beferish in the beginning of the second parak in Zvachim, that if the Kohen wears any extra beged, it's a problem, it's an issue of miyut of God, unless the Kohen has a band-aid. The Gemara talks about band-aids. So the Kohen wears a band-aid, so Rashi says it'll sometimes be a problem of miyut of God. And then he points out that he gets the distinct impression from the Rambam that the din of miyut of God only applies if he's wearing an extra one of the big day kahuna. He's wearing two mechnasayim, he's wearing two avnetim, he's wearing two mikbos. He has two yarmulkes, one on top of the other. Or two pairs of pants, one on top of the other, a big dekuna. But if he wears a different beged, not from the big dekuna, he doesn't think that would constitute a problem on the youth of the government. It'll just be an issue of chatzitza. That's the Gemara in the beginning of the second parak in Zvachim. When the Kohanim wear the big dekuna, it says in the Chumash that the begadim have to be on the begadim have to be touching their bodies. So if they have a chatzitza, if they wear underwear and then wear the big dekuna on top of it, that'll be a chatzitza. So they weren't permitted to wear underwear when they were wearing the big dekun, that would constitute a chatzitza. But if the Kohen will wear an extra beged, which will not be a chatzitza between the big dekun and his body, it'll be on another part of the body, and it won't be a chatzitza with the kli. When he holds on to the kli sharis, the Gemara learns out from Pesukim also, you don't permit any chatzitza between the hands of the Kohen and the kli with which he's going to do the avodah. If there's no issue of chatzitza, just an issue of miyut of godim, so the Netziv gets the impression from the Rambam that he doesn't agree with Rashi, that there wouldn't be a din of miyut of godim unless he's wearing an extra beged from the big dekun. Anyway, but Rashi says not so. Rashi holds that the miyut of godim is any beged will be a miyut of godim. Shad, is this called a beged? A beged means made from cloth. A pair of glasses is also miyut of godim. chiddush what to say over for the Chofetz Chaim. That he didn't want to wear glasses, he was concerned that maybe a din of the Yutub got.
He's also going to stay old also.
Yeah, Gemara has a din if you're too old, we don't allow you to do it. Yeah, he was an old man already. He wasn't shaykh anyway. For sure, some of the big dekuna had shatnas in them. Nonetheless, that's the halacha, that you're permitted and obligated to wear the shatnas under these circumstances. There is a famous dispute between the Rambam and the Ravid. It's really two opinions in Taisus regarding the wearing of the shatnas and the big dekuna. So the Rambam writes that the Kohen Hedyot, who wears the Abob Godim, the only garment that had shatnas was the Avnet. So the Kohen Hedyot, the minute he finishes doing the Avodah, has to remove the Avnet right away in order not to continue wearing the shatnas. The shatnas is only muta b'shas Avodah, and Shlo b'shas Avodah does not have. How is he allowed to wear the big dekuna Shlo b'shas Avodah? Why isn't that Moel b'hekdesh? The big dekuna all have Kedusha on there. So how is he permitted? The Avnet has an additional problem of shatnas. What's with the big dekuna themselves? He's wearing big dekuna that has Kedusha. So he's nene from the menakodesh by wearing big dekuna. Why isn't that a problem of meila behegdesh? The Gemara raises that issue. The Gemara maseches Tomid and maseches Yume, the same sugi appears both places. So the Gemara says that's okay. So the Gemara has an expression on nitna torah lemalachei ashores. It's understood that you can't expect the Kohen to be so precise that the moment they finish the Avodah they're going to run to a chamber on the side and remove the big dekuna. So the Gemara says melechatchila when they were magdish the big dekuna, so there was like a built-in clause that it should only be kodesh when it has to be kodesh. The minute they finish the Avodah, so there shouldn't be a violation of mila behegdish. What kind of clause is that? How can you make such a clause? It's a problem in the Gemara. What does it mean? But somehow the Gemara says that solves the issue of moel behegdish. So nitna torah l'malachi ashar is that svar. That argument removes the prohibition of me'ila from the big dekunish, the big dekuna, so they may wear the big dekuna even after they finish doing the avodah. But the issue is regarding the avnet. So the Rambam's opinion is like that one day in Tarsus, that they had to take off the avnet the moment they finished the avodah. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam, and he says that it's not correct, that they're permitted to wear the big dekuna as long as they want. They can continue wearing the shatnas as long as they want. It's interesting, the Rambam is mashma that the problem, very mashma, lehedyot, that the problem, he doesn't say it explicitly, but it came out explicitly, the issue is only a kohen hedyot who wears the avne. What about a kohen gadol? The big dekun of the kohen gadol, several of them have shatnas. So why is he only concerned about the kohen hedyot, not concerned about the kohen gadol? So this is a famous derived estakash. Why did the Rambam only worried about the kohen hedyot? Why isn't he worried about the kohen gadol? So it's mashma beferish from the Rambam in another place, the last Rambam in Hilchas Kilayim, is mashma that the Kohen Gadol may wear all day long, he may wear the shatnas. That's the Shaila why. So the Beis HaLevi has his suggestion, and others give other suggestions. Beis HaLevi has in the Shalas HaTshuvas, in the first volume, he has a famous suggestion. The Pasuk says that the purpose of the tzitz, the Kohen Gadol wears Shemayin of Godim. So one of the eight Begodim is not really a garment, it's a piece of jewelry. It sits, it's gold, it doesn't have any clothing at all. There's no cloth, there's no cloth. It's a tachshit. So the Kohen Gadol wears the tzitz. What's the function of the tzitz? So the Pasuk says, Hoy al mitzchai l'ratzon. The tzitz is, what do you mean, l'ratzon? V'nirtzolo l'chaperolo. The Chumash has a lot of time, v'nirtzolo l'chaperolo. What do you mean, v'nirtzolo? Ritzu is an expression that's 99% of the time is used in conjunction with hakrovas hakarbonis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts the karbonis that we offer to him. The nirtzolo l'chaperolo. So here the Pasuk says, v'hay al mitzcha tomid l'rotzen lahem l'fnei Hashem. The Pasuk says that the wearing of the tzitz on the part of the Kohen Gadol is meratzeh on the karbonis, makes the karbonis kosher. What do you mean it makes the karbonis kosher? Bring a karbon, the karbon is kosher, what do you need a tzitz for? So the answer is, the Gemara has a whole discussion in Yuma. So the first pair of Yuma, the beginning, so the Gemara explains what it means is that if a karbon would be offered in the state of Tumah, so the karbon will be pasul and you have to repeat it. So what if the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz? So from this pasuk we derive that if the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz is meratzeh and the karbon will be kosher. B'diavad, l'chatchila, not supposed to do it, not supposed to rely on the fact that the Kohen Gadol is wearing a tzitz. It's an issur to be makor karbanos in the state of tumah. We're not talking about carbon seba that's mutter, and it's the carbon seba is mutter b'tumah. Talk about a carbon yochid, shein's mana kavua, that you were not supposed to offer in a state of tumah. But b'di'evit, if you did bring it, it should be possible even b'di'evit. So if the klein gadol is wearing the tzitz, then it's good. The tzitz is meratz on tumah. How do you know it's meratz on tumah? Maybe it's meratz on pigol, on noiser, on something else. So the Gemara has a long discussion. By a process of elimination, they figured out this pshat in the pasuk that the tzitz is meratzeh on the psul of tumah. So the Gemara in the beginning of Yuma has a machlekes hatam davar on the day. The Gemara has a machlekes of Shimon and Rabbi Yudah, who both lived after the churban by Sheni. They were never there. So they both, there's a machlekes hatanaim. The tzitz is meratzeh v'hoy al mitzcha tamid l'rotzen lahem lefnei Hashem. How are you supposed to read the pasuk? The kain gadol should always wear the tzitz, because the wearing of the tzitz is l'rotza ham lefnei Hashem. Kol zman he wears the tzitz, odei al mitzcha meratza, ein odei al mitzcha ein meratza. If he's not wearing the tzitz, it's not meratza. So he better wear the tzitz all day and all night. He has to go to sleep, okay? But as long as he can, he should wear the tzitz in order to be machshir all the karbanos that may possibly be offered in a state of tumah. Or should we read the pasuk differently? V'hoy al mitzcha semicolon. Tamid l'rotzen lahem lefnei Hashem, that the tzitz is meratzah even if the kain gadol is not wearing the tzitz. So that's a machlekes hatanaim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Where do you pause? Lo'ay al mitzchay tamid semicolon. You should always wear the tzitz, because wearing of the tzitz is meratzah. Ein al mitzchay ein meratzah. Or no, the existence of the tzitz, to the exclusion of the case where the tzitz nishba hatzitz, if it's broken, if there is no tzitz in existence, if nishba hatzitz, then the court. So when will a carbon be possible if it's brought in a state of tumah? Nishbar tzitz. But if the tzitz is in existence, so the tzitz is meratz even if the kain gadol is not wearing. So that's a machlekes hatanaim. That's a shaila. If you say the tzitz is only meratz if the kain gadol is wearing the tzitz, means kain gadol was wearing the tzitz when? Kain gadol was wearing the tzitz yesterday, and then today somebody brings a carbon in a state of tumah. So what good is that? Means if kain gadol is wearing the tzitz at the time that the issue comes up, then the tzitz is meratzah. What does that mean? Kain gadol is wearing the tzitz at the time, exactly which time? Kain gadol is wearing the tzitz when what happened? So Rashi writes on the Gemara Yuma in the first paragraph, not Gemara, Davav, Davzayin. The Rashi writes that the kain gadol was wearing the tzitz at the time that the korban became tameh. So the Shagasari has a sefer on Yuma where he always disagrees with everything Rashi and Taisus say. Yeah, such a sefer on Tainus, Mamish, on Maseches Tainus. Every time Rashi and Tosfos add on one word, more than what it says in the Gemara, he jumps on them like a lion. Shagasai is a lion. He jumps like a lion. He disagrees with everything Rashi and Tosfos add. Yuma is a little less. Yuma is a little less. He lets him, once in a while, he lets him get away with something. So he attacks this Rashi and says, really, I tell him, what does Rashi say? The kain gadol was wearing the tzitz at the time that the korban became nitman. No, at the time that they were makir of the korban. Let's say the korban became nitman at 11 o'clock. And then there were makriv, they were zerk the dam on his bath at 11:15. The kain gadol happened to go to the bathroom then, and he took off the tzitz, took off the big dekuna from 11:10 till 11:20. They were makriv the carbon in the state of tumah at 11:15 when the kain gadol was not wearing the tzitz. But the dam became nitma at 11 o'clock, but the kain gadol was wearing the tzitz. So why does Rashi say if the kain gadol was wearing the tzitz at the time that the dam became nitma? What do I care if the dam became nitma? It should depend on the time that the coin was makrivit on the mizbeah. So that's what the Shagasari doesn't understand Rashi. Anyway, that's a machlokes hatanaim. Whether the tzitz is only meratza when the kain gadol is wearing it, or the tzitz is even meratza when he's not wearing it. So the Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in Kiddushin on Daf Samach Vov. The Gemara says that Yane HaMelech was a meshugana, a lunatic. He was killing non-Jews, killing Jews, killing rabbis, killing laymans. A meshugana. So this Yana HaMelech, he just didn't kill his brother-in-law, Shinim and Shevach. He was nice to him, he didn't kill him. But all the other rabbis he killed. So this Yana HaMelech decided he was a kohen. He decided one fine day he's going to make himself the kohen gadol. So he was makriv karbanos and beis hamikdash. The Gemara tells the story, he was wearing the tzitz. They told him, put on the tzitz. So the Rishonim quote Rabbeinu Tam there, not Gemara. What did he tell him to wear the tzitz? What about the other big dekunas? So Rabbeinu Tam says, no, the tzitz you got to wear all day long, because the Tana says in the Gemara, it's only meratze when he's wearing it. Odei al mitzcha meratze, ein odei al mitzcha, ein meratze. So the tzitz he has to wear all day long. The other seven big day kuna gedol he doesn't have to wear. So Rabbeinu Tam clearly states that the tzitz is meratze without the other big day kuna. something is to be gained by wearing the tzitz alone without the other seven big tikkun, namely that the tzitz would be meratz. So the Beis HaLevi does not agree with that Ben Tam. Beis HaLevi was Rabbi Yosher Ben Soloveitchik, the father of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. So he doesn't agree with that Ben Tam. He thinks that he's not right. According to the Tana, whose opinion is accepted, that the tzitz is only meratz, and when he's wearing the tzitz, he has to be wearing the tzitz together with all the other seven big tikkun of Gdolim. It's a mechus of the Godim. He was a kohen. He was a kohen, but the Gemara tells his story. That's what we are learning the Tosfos from later. His mother was a shvuya, so shvuya psula the kohen of the rabbanon. But the Gemara tells the story by so there was insufficient evidence to declare that she was a shvuya, and nonetheless they passed the son from serving as a kohen based on Migdash. But that's when he got angry and killed all the rabbis. How can you possibly, if you don't have sufficient evidence? And the Gemara goes through the whole discussion. What does it mean? By Bukash Adar, insufficient. Gemara says, Trey, and so on. The whole story. So the Beis HaLevi, I thought you were asking whether the Beis HaLevi was a kohen. No, Yanai was a kohen. Beis HaLevi was a lady. Yeah, that's why it's Beis HaLevi. Soloveitchik, Salavi. So the Beis HaLevi thinks in his sefer the Rabbeinu Tam is not right. He thinks that the case of the Tana that you have to be Kangaroo has to be wearing the tzitz in order to be meratze alatuma. It doesn't mean the tzitz alone. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is to be gained by just wearing the tzitz alone. You have to wear all the shmeinah begodim. So he thinks that that's the beer in the Rambam. Why does the Rambam permit the Kangaroo to wear shatnez all day long? So he says because it's necessary. If he's only going to wear the tzitz, he's not going to wear the other seven begodim, so he won't be meratze. And you can never tell any moment of the day. Maybe there'll be a psul tumah. So we need the kohen gadol to wear the shmoinim begodim all day long in order to be meratze ala tumas. That's the suggestion of the Beis HaLevi. Now, Soloveitchik used to say differently. It's not necessary to say that the significance of the kohen gadol wearing the shmoinim begodim all day long is in order to be meratze ala karbonis. Even if one would adopt the position of the Rabbeinu Tam, that the tzitz is meratzah without the other seven begodim, you can still argue the point and say that there's still a mitzvah for the kohen gadol to wear shmoneh begodim all day long. The kohen hegyot, the only function, the only purpose of wearing the avodah begodim is to enable him to do avodah. Once he finished doing the avodah, he doesn't plan to do any more avodah. He's supposed to take off the avnet that has tefillin, because the hetter is only... The hetter to wear the avnet with the kelayim is only when there's a mitzvah of wearing big tikkunim. The mitzvah is only when he's doing avodah. When he finished avodah, no more mitzvah. Then, on the other hand, the mitzvah of the kohen gadol to wear the shmeinim gadim, that's not only when he's doing avodah. Then Rambam writes in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, you appoint the kohen gadol, and kvodo the sefarta of the kohen gadol is that he should stand in the Beis HaMikdash all day long with the big tikkunim. That's his mitzvah, is to wear shmeinim gadim not only for the purpose of being makor of kabbalas. He should be in the Beis HaMikdash. He's part of the furniture in the Beis HaMikdash. He's a fixture there. You have to have a kohen gadol. You don't need a kohen hegyot in the Beis HaMikdash unless he's going to do avodah. If he's not doing avodah, you don't need any kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. But a kohen gadol you do need in the Beis HaMikdash. He's part of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. That's where the Rambam has the dinim of the kohen gadol in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash. It's like you need a shulchan and a menorah and a mizbeach and a kiyor and so on, and you need walls, so do you need a kohen gadol? He has to be there in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the mitzvah the kohen gadol should always wear, should be in the Beis HaMikdash all the time, with his uniform, with his outfit, with the shmein of gadol all day long. That's the mitzvah. Mitzvah said to be in the Beis HaMikdash all day long. The Rambam has there is a din later in Chumash. A kohen hegyot is not, kohanim are not permitted to be metamel nesim unless it's one of the seven relatives. But then the pasuk says, so then the kohen is permitted and obligated to be mitami to the mace. A kohen gadol is not permitted even to be mitami to the seven relatives. He's only permitted and obligated to be mitami in the case of a mace mitzvah. Mace mitzvah means no one else is around. Kori lacherim and veinam boim. He tries to get other people to come to take care of the mace and no one is around. So that's a mace mitzvah. So a nazir or a kohen gadol are not permitted to be mitame even to the seven relatives, and the only exception to the rule they have is that they're permitted and obligated to be mitame to a meis mitzvah. So the pasuk says, if a regular kohen loses a relative, So he's obligated, lo yitama. He's in the Beis HaMikdash, and they tell him that someone died in the family. So he has to finish the avodah and leave. He has to complete the avodah, and he has to leave and attend the funeral. Lo yitama is a mitzvah. The kangaroo, if they tell him that a relative died, he doesn't have a mitzvah, and it's not even permissible to be mitame. So it says, min HaMikdash lo yetze, v'lo yechalos mikdash alatov. So one could have interpreted Migdash Liyetze, it's not necessary for the Kangoral to leave. That's how the Rambam learns Pshutash al Mikro. Migdash Liyetze, it's not necessary for the Kangoral to leave the Beis HaMikdash, because we learn out from Sukkim that the Kangoral is Makri Vainan Vein Oichaloinan. The Kangoral is permitted to be Makri Chabanis even when he is in a state of Aninus, before the Kvura. The Kohen Hegel is not permitted to be Makri Chabanis, neither permitted to be Makri in a state of Aninus, nor permitted to eat in the state of Aninus. Because when you eat karbonis, it has to be in the state of simcha. So one is in the state of aninus, is not in the state of simcha. The original pasuk for aninus is says by Maisa Sheni, when you on the Pesach of the fourth year, and the Pesach of the seventh year, you have to do biur. You have to dispose of all the Maisa Sheni, whatever you happen to have around the house, Maisa Sheni, Truma Gedolah, Maisa Rishon, Maisa Ron. You got to get rid of everything, and then you recite Vidui Maisa, and in the Vidui Maisa you say, I did not eat the Maisa Sheni in a state of Aninus. So the original Pasuk only says in connection with Maisa Sheni. And the Gemara points out that Aaron HaKoyin made a Kavachomer. You look in Parsha Shmini, Aaron made a Kavachomer that the Chumash recorded. Is it, if you're not allowed to eat Maisa Sheni in the state of Aninus, Kavachomer that you're not allowed to eat Karbonis in the state of Aninus? So originally Moshe Rabbeinu didn't think so. And then Aaron HaKoyin convinced him that this is correct, and then he was maskim. And this is recorded in the Chumash. My two sons just died today. I should be permitted to eat. Does that make any sense? I'm allowed to eat korbanos in the state of Aninus. It should be a kalvachayim for Maisa Sheni. So the pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu agreed. First, he thought he was angry why Aaron didn't eat the chatos. And when Aaron argued out the case, it's a kalvachayim for Maisa Sheni, so he was masking. So Kavachim is from the Torah Shebal Peh. So here the Torah Shebal Chsav records a chunk of Torah Shebal Peh. It's an interesting phenomenon. The Chumash records the Kavachim of Aaron, and that is the halacha now, because Moshe Rabbeinu was masking with the Kavachim. So that's the din. So the Pashup Shat and the Pasuk is, min HaMikdash LeYetze, it's not necessary for the Kohen Gadol to leave the Beis HaMikdash, because he may be Makrivayin. He's not allowed to eat in the state of Aninus, but he may be Makrivayin. The Kohen had Yod is not allowed to be makriv oinen. He is not allowed to be oichel oinen. A kain gadol all year long. The Gemara has a lashon. A kain gadol all year long is ki Yisrael beregel dami. That the kain gadol all year long has to be in the Beis HaMikdash, and he's always in a state of simcha. He's not really in a state of sadness. And even if a relative dies, he's not mitami to the relatives. Why is he not mitami to the relatives? It means he doesn't observe avelus over the relatives. And the kain gadol is always supposed to be in the Beis HaMikdash. He's always in a state of simcha. So he's permitted to be makriv in the state of aninus, and the karbonis will not be possible. He's that we don't allow him though to eat in the state of aninus. Kangol is makriv v'inu eichalayim. So the Ramban writes on Chumash that that's the pashup shat. Min amigdush leyetze means it's not necessary for the kangol to leave the Beis HaMikdash. He may remain there. V'lo yechalos migdush alakov. He can remain and be makriv karbonis all day long, even though adayin lo nikbar meis, and the karbonis will not be mechulo. The karbonis will be kosher because the kangodol is makrivainin and the karbonis are kosher. The Rambam learns not so. The Rambam learns chat ben amigdash liyetze is a prohibition that the kangodol is not allowed to leave the Beis HaMikdash, and he writes in the Sefer Mitzvot that this pasuk is really a repeat of a pasuk that says regarding the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim. It says the last 7 days of the month of Adar, when they put together the Mishkan, every day they put it up, and then Moshe Rabbeinu put it up and took it apart, put it up and took it apart every day for the last 7 days of Chodesh Adar. And then Rosh Chodesh Nisan was the Shmini Lemiluim, and the first 12 days of Chodesh Nisan, each one of the Nisim brought a different carbon, the Chanukah Samizbeach, the Chanukah Samishkan. So it says that during the 7 days, the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, Aaron and Avonav had to sit Pesach Ol Moed, and they weren't permitted to walk away. The Pesach HaMoed Lo Yitzei Tzu Shivas Yamim Laila Bayom. Look, they had to go to the bathroom, they went. They had to go eat a meal, they went. But they were supposed to stay whenever, to the extent that it was possible. They had to sit in front of Oil Moed for all the 7 days. So the Rambam writes that this pasuk that says regarding the Kangodl, when Amigdash Lo Yitzei is basically a repeat of the other pasuk, that's a Hayra Shor. This din is a din Ludaris, Man Amigdash Lo Yitzei. That's the Kangodl throughout all the generations. And the other pasuk that says the Shivas Yimei Miluim is only once in the history of the world, when they made the Mishkan the last 7 days in Chodesh Adar. So that pasuk that says that Hayrashah is the same as this pasuk. How is that the same? So the Rambam explains. The Rambam explains that the two psukim together add up to a third rule. The basic rule, the overriding rule is a kohen who is in the middle of an avodah is not allowed to leave the Beis Hamikdash. Now let's say he's in the middle of zrikas adam of a chatos or something. He has dalet zrikas. So he's tired. So he'll give the cup of dam to another kohen. He says, "You take over. I'm tired. I'm going home." And he leaves because it's his time for his football game on the TV or whatever. It's time for musa shmos in the Beis Medrash. Ashiya filter shiya. He says, "I had enough today. I'm leaving." So the Rambam says that's what's prohibited. A kohen should leave the avodah in the middle for whatever purpose. That's the basic prohibition. The Chumash writes it in two places, they repeat in the unusual forms. The Chumash writes it, these last 7 days of Shivas Me'amiluim, it was considered an Avodah, even though they weren't doing any, there was no Kabbalah, Shechita, Haylocha, they weren't doing any Avodahs HaKabbalahs. Pesach HaMoed Teshu, Shivas Yomim, Laila Bayom, to sit there, that was their Avodah. At that time, that was a Hirasha, that was the Avodah to sit there. So it says, they're not allowed to leave because that's considered leaving b'emtza avoda. That was a hirah sure that's called an avoda, but the din that you're not allowed to leave in the middle of an avoda, that's a din with dervis. So the Rambam writes, and here the din is repeated again, that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to leave the Beis Hamikdash. I mean, Hamikdash lo yetze, not like the Ramban says, it's not necessary for the Kohen Gadol to leave because he won't be mechalal avoda, because the Kohen Gadol is makrivonim. That's where the Gemara has that. So the Ramban says that's an additional level. The Ramban holds that again. Ramban holds that that's the pshutus shel mikra. I mean, Hamikdash leyetze, it's not necessary for the Kohen Gadol to leave. Well, leyachalus mikdash olakav, he won't pass the karbanis because he's makrivonim. So the Ramban says that's pshutus shel mikra. So the Rambam says no. That the Gemara says that pshat, that's an additional level of interpretation. What's the pashup pshat in that pasuk? So the Rambam says the Pashup Pshat is Ma'am Migdash Liyetzah, the Kohen Gadol is not permitted to leave the Beis HaMikdash because if he leaves in the middle of the Lay Chalav is Migdash Olakav, that he's Mevazah the Karbonis. Why is he Mevazah? Because the Kohen Gadol is considered all year long, all day long, not a Hayro Ashur. Adin Ladaris is considered as if the Kohen Gadol all the time is in the state of being Makrav Karbonis. Even though he's not doing anything, he only has to be Makrav Karbonis on Yom Kippur. But that's the halacha. That's why the Kohen Gadol has to wear the Shemoneh Begadim all day long. Kohen Hagid is only has to wear the big dekuna when he's doing hakravas hakarbonis. The Kohen Gadol is considered as if he's doing karbonis all day long, 7 days a week and 24 hours a day. Whenever he's awake, he's supposed to be in the Beis Hamikdash wearing the big dekuna. Just his presence in the Beis Hamikdash constitutes an avoda. So that's what the Rambam understands. Min Hamikdash lo yetze, he's not permitted, never allowed to leave the Beis Hamikdash in the middle of the day. Well, lo yachalas Mikdash olakav. If he's going to leave the Beis Hamikdash, it's considered like leaving b'emtza avoda. So these two psukim, the Rambam says, are really a repeat. That Shivas Yimei Miluim, all the five Kohanim, Aaron and the four sons, were not allowed to leave Pesach or Moed. That was a Hayrashah. That was a quirk of Allah. That was a Hayrashah that sitting Pesach or Moed was called an avoda. The Kohen Gadol, it's also an unusual din that just standing in the Beis Hamikdash all day long constitutes an avoid on behalf of on the part of the Kohen Gadol. He's supposed to officially be supervising all the hakravas hakravas, even though he doesn't do anything all year long. He's supposed to be officially in charge of the Beis Hamikdash. And from these two psukim put together, we derive the basic principle that if a kohen is really doing an avoid, he's not allowed to leave in the middle of an avoid, because that constitutes a design to the kedusha. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. You don't have to say like the Beis Halevi that he has to wear the Shemoneh Begadim because the Roma Akhtim Zeh and the Tzitzis Nidah to be Meratzeh. Such a complicated... No, without that. Even if the Rabbeinu Tam would be right, that the Tzitz is Meratzeh, the Tzitz alone, without the other seven Godim. But it's still a mitzvah on the part of the Kohen Gadol to wear the Shemoneh Begadim all day long, because all day long is considered as if he's doing Avodah. That's what you see from the Rambam, and the Rav Soloveitchik didn't mention that Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah. So that's what the Rambam said. It says the Pharisees like that. The Kohen Gadol all day long, 7 days a week, and 354 days a year, whatever it happens to be, is considered as if he's doing his avodah by just being in the Beis Hamikdash and supervising the hakrovas, hakarbonos. pasuk says that the tzit had written on a kodesh lahashem lamed yud kei vav kei kodesh lahashem. The beginning of Sukkah quotes a dispute among the Tanoim. The Tanoim lived after the Churban Habayis. Most of them never saw the tzitz. The Gemara says one of them did see the tzitz. One of them went to Rome, and it happened that by a whole coincidence of a combination of coincidences, he cured the daughter of the emperor, who happened to be sick. And then the emperor was so appreciative, the Gemara Meila tells a story. So he said, I'll take you into the he took him in the Vatican. So he said, I'll take you into the treasury and you can take whatever you want out of Hakaras HaTov. So he went in, and it says he saw the Parochas, because they had taken a lot of things from the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim after the Churban Bayis Sheni. They took it to the Vatican, to Rome with them. So he saw the Parochas, and the Parochas had a couple of drops of blood on it. It's not supposed to have any blood on it, because when the Kohen Gadol sprinkles the blood in front of the Parochas, he's supposed to sprinkle in front of, not on it. But they would miss sometimes, and they would be careful. So they had blood stains on the parochas, and then he says that he saw the. They probably took the menorah with them also, because that's the arch of Titus has the menorah. So somebody had the menorah there too. Moja says he saw the parochas with the drops of blood, and he saw the tzitz that said Kodesh Lashem on it. He wasn't interested in taking any of these things. He only took. He was looking long enough till he found the edict, the gzera, the malchus had made gzera ro against the Jews. So he said that's what he wants. And he ripped it up. So then, because he ripped up the edict, so the emperor had to abolish that. So they didn't persecute the Jews for one day. They let them observe the Jewish religion for a week or two, and then they made a new edict against the Jews. So the Gemara says that that Tana who saw the tzitz in person says that his Kodesh Lashem was on one line. So he argues with the other Tanaim. How can you tell me one Tana said they all lived after the Churban Habayis? So most of them didn't see the tzitz. Only this one who was in Rome, and he was taken into the treasure house. And he says that he saw the tzitz, and it was in one line. The other time, I had a machlekes, and they say that it was kodesh la Hashem. Yud kei vav kei was on a higher line. It read from right to left. It read from right to left, but it wasn't all on one line. Kodesh is spelled chasa, kuf dalachin, that's what it says in the Chumash, kuf dalachin, says lamed, la, and then the yud kei vav kei was on an upper line. That's what one Tana says. The other Tana says, no, ani reisiv, ani hirisiv beromi, the reisiv, and it's all on one line. So the Rambam paskins that it's on two lines. So because the Mishnah asks on the side of the Rambam, how can he paskin on two lines? It's against archaeological evidence. The Tana says he was there and he saw that it's. So the Kesem Mishnah says, look here, every Kohen Gadol had to make a different tzitz because they had to fit his forehead. Some Kohanim Gadolim had a big head, some had a little head. So they made a different tzitz. So just because they found one tzitz that was Kodesh Lashem on one line doesn't necessarily mean that they were always like that. So the Rambam holds, based on the Kalali Hapsak, that we pass them like the other Tana. And one time during the period of Bayis Sheni, they made it the wrong way. The Eilu V'Eilu Divrei the Kim Chaim, in that generation, maybe the Rabbanim held that it should be on one line. But Ludairit, we don't pass it like that. We pass it that it should be on two lines. Interesting. That's always a question. When you find some archaeological discovery, you find a mikveh from the Isseus, and the mikveh had these dimensions. But does that necessarily mean that that's the halacha? The Isseus did not follow the Piske halacha of the Rabbanim, of the Tanaim. So maybe that's the way they made a mikveh. Maybe if the Rabbanim would have made a mikveh, it would have been the Chazon Ish Ishiya. The mikveh that they found are not the Chazon Ish Ishiya. But they were not from Orthodox, the Isseus were not Orthodox people. They're not observant people. So maybe the observant people would have made the mikveh like the Chazon Ish. Maybe, yeah, maybe not. You can never tell. They found tefillin. They quote in from the Rishon, they found tefillin in Kevi, Yecheskel HaNavi, they found tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam. So it's a riot that from the days of Yecheskel HaNavi, there was tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam. So the other Rishonim say, maybe those were possible tefillin, so they put them in Geniza. I didn't know what you found over there. I didn't know whether the kosher apostles, if they would find 1,000 pairs of tefillin in 1,000 different places in Eretz Yisrael, all like the Rabbeinu Tam, so that would be a good achach. If I found one pair of tefillin in Kevi Yecheskel HaNavi, maybe it was possible. I didn't know that it was kosher, like over here, Kodesh Lashem, maybe the tzitz was possible. The tzitz, it says, is supposed to be v'hoya al mitzchei tamid. The Metzach, Alpi Pashtus means over here. The Metzach is the forehead in modern Hebrew. The Targum Onkelos writes, Al Mitzcha Bein Einohi. We're not too sure what that means. Bein Einohi. So the Tesis in Sukkah and Tesis in Yuma raises the possibility. Maybe Beinei Nohi in the Targum language is the same as what it says by Tefillin. Maybe it means the same as by Tefillin. So maybe by Tefillin, we don't put the Tefillin over here. We don't put the Tefillin over here. You're not here. So the Tefillin means on the here. But Makom Seyor, in the center, Mechuvan Keneged the Bein Hainayim. So that's two opinions in Tosis. One opinion in Tosis is that the tzitz was not on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol. The tzitz was on the Makom Seyor of the Kohen Gadol. Because the expression Bein Einoy that's used by the Targum Onkel is probably has the same meaning as Bein Einecho in connection with the Tefillin Shel Rosh. So that leads Tosis, that's 2 days in Tosis. So that leads Tosis to suggest a Chiddush that the Kohen Gadol and the Kohanim had Yotim shared certain Tegodim in common. So one of the begadim they had this was the same. Was they everyone had to wear a yarmulke, but sometimes it's referred to as a mitznefes, and sometimes it's referred to as a mikbas. By the Kohen Hedyot it's called the mikbas, and by the Kohen Gadol it's called the mitznefes. Is there a difference? So there are 2 days in Pesach. So one day is the same thing, mikbas and mitznefes, the same thing, and the other day is no, it can't be the same thing. Because the Kohen Gadol has to wear the tzitz over here, and he wore tefillin. So the Gemara says, "Tzayra haya nira bein tzitz limits nefesh shesham haya meinech tefillin." There was a little space where the hair was growing. Hair of the Kohen Gadol was growing. In between this little space was in between the tzitz. The tzitz was somewhere further down, and the mitznefes was further up, and the tefillin was in between. So according to this opinion in Tosfos, that the tzitz has to be b'makom seyor, and the Gemara says it's two etzbois wide. So the tzitz is b'makom seyor. Then he had tefillin, which is also, Tosfos says, a smaller size tefillin is two etzbois, two thumb width. So the first two etzbois above the hairline were the tzitz. The next two etzbois were the tefillin. So the mitznefes begins after the tefillin because you can't allow a chatzitza. You can't put the mitznefes on top of the tefillin, on top of the tzitz. So it will constitute a chatzitza. So the mitznefes had to be smaller. The Kohen Gadol's yarmulke was smaller, and the Kohen had the more holy you are, so the tinier your yarmulke becomes. It's a symbol of a greater level of kedusha. The one who wears the smaller yarmulke has a higher level of kedusha. The Kohen Hedi doesn't wear a tzitz, so he only has the Kohen Hedi wears his tefillin, and right up behind the tefillin he wears the mikvah, and the mikvah was bigger. That's what Tosfos has one suggestion: the mikvah of the Kohen Hedi was a larger size yarmulke than the mitznefes of the Kohen Gadol. If one should assume this premise, that the tzitz was on the Mokam Aseya. The Tosfos is not too sure about that. They for sure lived after the Churban Bayis Sheni. And they never even visited in Rome. So they never, none of the Balei Tosfos ever saw it. The Tanoim had this machlekes, how do you read the pasuk, V'hoyo al mitzcho tamid, l'rotzen l'am l'fnei Hashem, how do you translate the word tamid? So one time I read V'hoyo mitzcho semicolon Tomid l'rotzen l'am l'fnei Hashem, the tzitz is meratzeh even if he's not wearing it. So Tomid goes on the next phrase in the pasuk. But if you say it's only meratzeh when he's wearing the tzitz, and Tomid doesn't go together with Tomid l'rotzen l'am l'fnei Hashem, always meratzeh, you say V'hoyo mitzcho Tomid semicolon l'rotzen l'am l'fnei Hashem. So what does that mean? You should wear it all day long. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam says. You should wear it all day long. That was that Rabbeinu Tam that we mentioned before, to be meratzah all the time. But the Gemara does not say like that. The Gemara in the first Perek in Yuma says, according to the Tano who reads it together, the word tamid means that he shouldn't be mesiach dad from the tzitz. The whole time the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz, he's not allowed to be Mesiach Taz because it has the Shem Hashem, Kodesh Hashem on the outside. So he should always act properly. He shouldn't have Sicha Betela and so on the whole day long while he's wearing the tzitz. Well, Yom Mitzcha Tomei, he should always be aware. He should always be conscious and aware of the fact that he's wearing the tzitz on his head. And the Gemara says, Akal V'chaymer, if there is such a requirement of the Kohen Gadol, even though the tzitz only has Shem Hashem appearing once, certainly more so the tefillin, that when you put together the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, the Shem Hashem appears, Yud Kei Vav Kei appears 42 times. That's what the Rambam writes. But it appears he added it up. And the shel yad it appears 21 times, and the shel rosh is the same four parshas, it appears 21 times, 21 is 42. So So the Shem Hashem appears 42 times. So it's a, the Gemara says a kal v'chomer that there's a prohibition to be Mesiach Das when a person wears tefillin. When one wears tefillin, he always has to act in a serious fashion in accordance, keeping in mind the fact that he has tefillin on with the Shem Hashem. Some Rishonim say that there's a pircha on the kal v'chomer, that by the tzitz the Shem Hashem is megula, and by the tefillin the Shem Hashem is mechusa, it's covered over in the batim. So some Rishonim say that this kal v'chomer is not a real kal v'chomer menater, it's only a chumer mederabbanan. And others seem to be taking the Gemara literally. They understood not that it's a real din d'oraisa, not just an asmachta mederabbanan, not to be mesiach das while one is wearing the tefillin. The Kohen Gadol had to wear one of the Shemayin Begadim of the Kohen Gadol was the Choshen HaMishpat, and the Pasuk says you have to place into the Choshen HaMishpat, you have to put the 12 stones. Each stone has the name of each one of the Shvatim on it, the 12 Shvatim on it, just like the two Kisvos HaEifot had two stones, and each of the stones had Shisha Mishmos Malav and Achos Veshmos HaShishon HaSorim Malav HaRashanis Gisol Dosam. So they had six and six the names of the Shvatim. So here Menashe Ephraim counts one Shevet here, Shevet Yosef. So here, by the 12 Avnei HaEifot, ladies included, Menashe Ephraim counts as one as Yosef. So here, there were 12 stones. Each stone had the names of the Shvatim written on them. And the pasuk says, "Menasata El Choshen Hamishpat Esa Urim Esa Tumim." The Kohen Gadol should wear the Urim B'Tumim inside. What is the Urim B'Tumim? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Yuma, the end of Yuma, that it had a Shem HaMeforesh written on a piece of parchment. And this was inside the Choshen HaMishpat, and because this was inside, this enabled the letters, the names of the Shvatim had letters in them, Kamat the whole Aleph, so this enabled the letters to light up. This was, Urim Tumim was a high level, the highest level of Nevuah, that on different occasions they would consult the Urim Tumim when they wanted to know about going to war. The halacha requires when you want to wage Mechemes or Rishus, you have to consult the Urim Tumim. The Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, even when you want to do a Mechemes Mitzvah, and the Urim Tumim is not likud, but there's still a mitzvah to consult the Urim Tumim. They ask, find it a mitzvah, does it have to be done today? Maybe it makes more sense to wait till next year, let's prepare a little more. Maybe it makes sense to wait 10 years. Who says you have to, the mitzvah brentnish, who says you have to do, or you want to ask where, how should we wage the war? Should we attack the enemy from the north, or should we attack the enemy from the south? So they ask Urim Tumim these questions. So the Ramban says, even in the Mechemes Mitzvah, there's a mitzvah to consult with Urim Tumim whether now is a smart time to go to war and how should we wage this war. But if you don't have an Urim Tumim, you can still go to do a Mechemes Mitzvah. Mechemes Rishus, the Gemara says in Shavuos, in the Sanhedrin, that's out of the question. Mechemes Rishus, you can't wage a war, that's Rishus, unless you have the approval of the Urim Tumim. So the Urim Tumim, the Psukim say in Ezra, the Urim Tumim didn't answer during the period of the Bai Sheni. They knew it wasn't going to work, so they didn't ask. When they saw that it's not working, so they stopped asking any questions. And that's why the Pasuk says that in the beginning of the Bai Sheni, they checked, we discussed it a month ago, they only allowed such Kohanim to be Makar Kabbanis in the Beis HaMikdash were Kohanim Miuchasim, who could produce a Ksav Yichas. Whoever was only a Kohan Echazoke, they didn't allow them to be Makar Kabbanis until it says, Aramot Kohen Le'urim Velatumim. Until a Kohen will be able to ask the Urim Tumim, means that the Bai Sheni, they couldn't ask the Urim Tumim. They knew it wasn't going to answer. It was missing the Ruach HaKodesh. It was one of the things that was missing in the period of the Bai Sheni. The Gemara says at the end of the first parak in Yom, there were five things that were missing in the Bai Sheni. Because the Pasuk says, Ve'erza bo v'ikovzo, the Navi Chagai says, I desire, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Navi, I desire that they should build the Beis HaMikdash for me, and I will be honored, the Ikovdo, I will be honored by their building the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. So the word the Ikovdo is written in the Treyosa Chasahe. So the Gemara says, why is it written the Ikoved, and you say the Ikovdo? So read it the Ikoved, or spell it the Ikovdo. What's the Chachman behind spelling it Chaser and pronouncing it as if it would be Ikovdo? So the Gemara says it's to teach you that the hay is missing. There were five things that were missing in the beginning of the Bai Sheni. The Gemara lists off the five things. So Rabbi Kidegir on the side of the Gemara in the Masoret HaShas gives a cross reference to other midrashim, and if a naim in the back of the Gemara gives you more cross references to more. The Yerushalmi is another midrashim. So every midrash has a different version of which were the five things. So there were 25 things that were missing in the Bai Sheni. There are a lot of things that were missing. So the main thing was that the Urim Tumim didn't answer. That's what it says in the Pasuk in Ezra, that the Kohani Chazoke, who couldn't produce a Ksav Yichas, Nego Alu Min HaKuhuna, they were rejected from the Kuna, and they won't be able, they and their descendants and their great grandchildren won't be able to be Makro Kabonis Ad Amot Koin L'Urim V'Latumim. When they'll have a Koin, we'll be able to ask the Urim V'Tumim if this guy is a Koin, a bona fide, authentic Koin. So then they'll be able to be Makro Kabonis and the Bayis HaShlishi. So that's what Rashi writes on that Pasuk. Rashi quoting from the Gemara. That expression, Ad Amot Koin L'Urim V'Latumim, is the same as saying in our language, Biz Mashiach V'Tumim. Because they knew that the whole period of the Bayis Shalem, the Urim V'Tumim is not going to answer. So when you say, we have to wait till we consult the Urim V'Tumim, what do you mean, we have to wait till Mashiach comes, then the Urim V'Tumim will work. So there's a machlekes there, Rashi and Taisus, the end of the first parak in Yuma, not Gemara, and it's a machlekes, the Ramam and the Ravid also. If the Urim V'Tumim didn't answer, so does it make sense that you have the Urim V'Tumim in the Chosh HaMishpat? If it's not going to answer, so what do you have it for? So some of the Rishonim hold, you have to have the Urim V'Tumim in the Chosh Mish, but otherwise it's a Mechusa B'Godim. That's an essential part of the Beged. The Kangadol has to wear Shemayin B'Godim. One of the Shemayin B'Godim is the Chosh HaMishpat. And the Chosh HaMishpat has to have an Urim V'Tumim. It doesn't answer, it's not plugged in. There's no juice from the electricity. This doesn't work, but still, that's part of the description of the Big Day Kuna. And the other Rishonim say, no, the Chosh HaMishpat is perfect without the Urim V'Tumim. If you know in advance that he can answer, so you put in the Shem Am Feirosh and you can ask in Nevuah. And if you know the whole period of the Bashein is not going to answer, so you don't have to bother to have any Urim V'Tumim placed inside. It's not Ma'akev in the Beged. The Beged is Shoven without the Urim V'Tumim. That's a Machlekes Rashi and Taisvis, and that Gemara at the end of the first paragraph of Yuma. And that's Machlekes repeated later. The Ramam and the Ravid, the same Machlekes. Whether the whole period of the Bashein, that they bother to put in the Urim V'Tumim or not. In Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Tefillin, they have a lot of dinim regarding chatzitza. The Gemara, the Mishnah in Megillah says that the shalyad may not be put on top of the sleeve. In the days of the Tanoim, apparently there were a lot of karoim, or there were isim, or whatever other groups of apikursim, reform that they had. So their practice would be that they put on the tefillin on top of the sleeve. So the Mishnah says that one who wears tefillin on top of the sleeve, I raise a Kederach Aminim or Kederach HaChitzoinim. That's not our tradition. We have halacha that you can't have any chatzitza. On the Shorosh, it never says in the Mishnah. So that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, machlekes HaRishonim. Is there a din of chatzitza on Shorosh? You can't put a Shorosh on top of a Shtraimel. That's out of the question. Some Rishonim hold if you put the Shorosh on top of a Yarmulke and you can feel, and your head can, you can feel the fact that the Shorosh is there, that's good. But if you're going to have mamash, a big fur hat, and you don't even feel it, that for sure is no good. That's why the Beis Yosef quotes, there's a Yerushalmi, the Rabbi Yochanan was very weak. He was very good looking, big Marsha, but he was very weak. So in the summertime, he'd always get heat strokes, in the wintertime, he'd always be getting sick. So the Talmud Yerushalmi says he rarely wore tefillin. He rarely wore tefillin shorosh, because if he would take off, in the summertime, he would take off his hat just for half an hour to put on tefillin, he would get a sunstroke. And in the wintertime, take off his hat to put on the tefillin, it would right away, he would get sick and he wouldn't be able to take it. Apparently, the shalyad didn't bother him, it was only sensitive on his head. So they say, but if it's, doesn't it indicate that there's an issue of chatzitza by shalrosh as well? Otherwise, why don't you just put the tefillin on top? So they say, no, even if you hold, there's no issue of chatzitza by shalrosh, but if you have to wear a fur hat, you keep warm and you put the tefillin on top of that, that's l'chala days, that's no good. It's only if you have a thin yarmulke, something like that, then the head can sense that there's a pair of tefillin on top. So that's a machlokes, and we're machmer on that also. Could you put the tefillin on top of the mitznepes? Could be, I don't know. The Gemara says they didn't. The Gemara says, Saira Hayanir, Ben Sitzel, Mitznepes, Shisham Hayim, and Yavtum. So the Gemara in Yuma quotes that they didn't put the tefillin on top of the mitznepes. They put the separate spaces. But you're asking, what if they wanted to put on top? Maybe. Depends what how big was the mitznefes. See, I call the mitznefes a yarmulke. It wasn't like yarmulke. The Rambam says it was a long turban that they wound around and around and around. The Rambam says 32 amos long. 32 amos long. So they had to wind it around 25 times. So it's going to be bigger than a shnaimel. From the stomach of the head, unless it was so thin. So it was absolutely thin. Even so, she wiped it around 25 times. So the stomach was probably the mitznefes or the mikvahs must have been a very big thing. The stomach, if they put the tefillin on top, the head wouldn't even sense that there's any tefillin in it. Perhaps. So the Shulchan Aruch has a lot of dinim of chatzitze regarding the tefillin shal yad and the halacha tefillin shal rosh. Also, we're machmir like those who shayim, Mishnah Berurah paskim like those who shayim, that you're not allowed to have chatzitze. There's a certain rabbi who lost all of his, he's bald, so he wears a toupee. So he wears the tefillin shal rosh on top of the toupee. He's embarrassed, it's a problem. He's embarrassed to let everybody see that he's wearing a toupee. So some of the other rabbonim once confronted him, they know he wears a toupee. So yes, how are you talking? So he said, Rav Soloveitchik said. What did Rav Soloveitchik say? I was there. Rav Soloveitchik was giving a shiur on Shulchan Aruch. So he was discussing the two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. The Rajba and the other Rishon, Machlekes. When he learned Gemara, he always discussed. There's Machlekes, Rav Shmuel, there's Machlekes, the Ram and the Rav. He didn't say what the din is. He learned Shulchan Aruch. So you see, the maskana is that there is a din of Chatzitza and Shal Rosh. Just because Rav Soloveitchik mentioned that there's such an opinion, he spent an hour and a half discussing that shita, doesn't mean that that's Talmud. He always spent time. He spent a lot of time, days and days, discussing Beishamai shita. The Gemara discusses shitas Beishamai. We don't pass them like Beishamai. That's what the Gemara says, Eilu Yehle Divri Kimchaim. It constitutes a mitzvah of Talmud Torah when you discuss Beishamai shita. So it's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah to discuss the opinions and the Rishonim that are not accepted La Locha also. But it doesn't mean just because you spent an hour and a half discussing that opinion that he holds that's La Locha. It's not La Locha like that. That's how people always misquote Rabbi Soloveitchik. They misquote the Rabbi Moshe Feinstein also. Rabbi Soloveitchik is not the only lucky winner. Everyone is misquoted. They take things out of context. He said at one time there is such an opinion. He didn't say that that's the accepted opinion. Accepted opinion is that there is an issue of Chatzitza and Shal Rosh as well. So all of the dinim in Hilchas Tefillin regarding Chatzitza are all based on these Gemaras and Zvachim. The original discussion of Chatzitza in the Gemaras appears in the Gemara in Zvachim that we don't permit the Kohanim to have a Chatzitza between the Big Day Kuhuna and the body. So the Gemara, all the details in the Gemara are carried over in the Shulchan Aruch. I'm going to make them into Kohanim. By wearing these B'gadim, they will become Kohanim. So this was once in the history of the world that they put on these B'gadim and they became Kohanim, and they all had Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha. They all had to go to a mikveh in order to give them, in order to endow them with Kedushas Kuna. And the Kohanim, the five Kohanim, Aaron and the four sons all had to bring korbanos together, b'shutfis. The special korbanos is what made them into Kohanim, like we have such a din l'doros that a non-Jew who wants to convert, a non-Jew who is mizgair, wants to be endowed with Kedushas Yisrael, has to go to a mikveh. The mikveh will give him Kedusha. It's not a mikveh to remove tumah. A non-Jew is not mekabel tumah. So what is he going to the mikveh for? The answer is mikveh service. More than one purpose. It's not the one and only purpose of the mikveh to remove tumah. The mikveh accomplishes other things as well. So by Ager, HaMizgayer, or by Tfilas Kelim, or by the Kohanim, or the Dinis, whenever a Kohen comes into the Beis HaMikdash any given day, he wants to be Makav Karbonis, the Mishnah says in Yom, he has to be Tevil in the mikveh. The Tfilah in the mikveh is to give him the higher level of Kedushas Kuna Shebamikdash, because he's going to put on the Big Day Kuna soon. So he has to go to mikveh also to help him get that Kedushas Kuna Shebamikdash. So here, this was the initiation of the whole institution of Kedushas Kuna, period. It didn't exist yet. So all the five Kohanim, all the five lucky winners had to go to mikveh. They had to be tevil and they had to bring korbanos, special korbanos, like a ger. A ger, habalu, his gair, also has to bring korbanos. The Gemara learns that from Psukim, that bizman shein beis hamikdash kaim, the korbanos of the ger are not li'kuva. But still, the Gemara says any non-Jew who converts bizman hazeh has to bring when the Beis Hamikdash will be built. If the ger will still be alive, he will be obligated to bring a korban in the Beis Hamikdash. That's the korban ager. So when they were endowed with kedushas kuhuna on this special occasion, they all had to bring these special korbanos. Then the Gemara understands also that there was a seder to levishas habgadim. there was a specific seder that had to make the begadim, and they put on the begadim in a special order. And the Gemara in the first paragraph in Yuma says it's not 100% clear keitzad hilbishon, which begadim did they put on first and which begadim did they put on second. So the Gemara has a discussion. Keitzad hilbishon. So the Gemara asked the kasha, what's the difference? Ma'ida havi havi, bittul Torah. You're discussing a hirashah once in the history of the world that's not relevant for Torah. That's like you might as well discuss when Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded, Harem is matchalayam of Kohen. They should wave his cane, his magic wand, on top of Yamsuf, and he should make Kriyas Yamsuf. So he can clear that he have to pick it up. The Tefach, Tentfach, and that. It's all Bittul Torah. What's an Afkimin? It's a Hirah Shah. It's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah to discuss Torah. Torah means a dinim that annoyed Ladaris, but to discuss something that was and never will be repeated. So Gemara says, Ma'ida Hava Havi, whatever happened, happened. And it's no longer Talmud Torah. It's Bittul Torah to discuss it now. So Gemara says, no. It'll be an Afkimin Allah Asid Lov. Ketzad Malbishon Lo Asid Lov. What does that mean? Ketzad Malbishon Lo Asid Lov? Means all of the Kohanim who died will come back to life. Any Kohen who was born, if you have a Kohen, his father was a Kohen, his father was a Kohen, his father was a Kohen. So this Kohen will come to the Beis HaMikdash, when Mashiach will come, will build the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen will come, they'll put on big dekuna, shine, and they'll do Avaida. But those Kohen who died, and they're going to be, those who will be brought back to life after Tchias HaMeisim, so they're going they'll have to be endowed anew with Kedushas Kuna. That's what the Gemara says. So Ketzad Malbishon Lasi Lava, after Tchias HaMeisim, if we want to restore the Kedushas Kuna to the Kohanim who passed away, we're going to have to start all over again. Because they weren't born naturally. They were brought back miraculously from the dead. So you'll have to repeat what was done at that time. So the Gemara says, Saketzim Malbushan Lasi Lavai. So how, it is a Shaila that's Negele Dairis. Lasi Lavai, after Tchias HaMeisim, how will we do the Seder of Ladisha Sabgadim to reinstate the Kedushas Kuna to all those Kohanim who passed away? An interesting question. So the Gemara says, don't worry about it. After Tchias HaMeisim, Moshe Rabbeinu will be there, Aaron HaKohen will be there. We'll ask him, how did he do it the first time around? So we'll repeat it the second time. That's what the Gemara answers. But the whole discussion in the Gemara is very fascinating. That the Kohanim who died, who will come back to life, will have to have a new Kiddush in order to restore their Kiddushas Kuna, that they should be able to function in Beis HaMikdash.
I mean, I'm talking about
regular Kohanim. I don't think so. I think it only goes on those who are going to come back from the dead.
No, but you can't see that from the
pasuk. No, from the pasuk you get the impression that this is once in the history of the world.
There's
never going to be repeated. So the Gemara in the first paragraph in Yuma says, no, Lassie Lovoy, we're going to have to repeat the Seder Levisha Sabgadim the correct way. But the Pasha B'Shan Gemara is...
assumes that this was only them, they had to do it like this, yeah, to a certain
data. Yeah, that's what I would have assumed. So the Gemara says, no, it will be repeated again, it is Nagel L'Doris Lasi Lava. But the Gemara is Mashma, it's only Lasi Lava on those who will be coming back from the dead. Those who will be alive, born naturally. Akoin, Ben Koin, Ben Koin, Ben Koin, Ben Ahaben, Akoin. So they won't have to have to say to Levisha Sabgad. They're kind of walk into the Beis HaMikdash, put on big dikun and that fit, and it'll be Makrib de Korbanos. But if he's a Kohen and brought back from the dead, then you're going to have to repeat it. That's l'chora what it sounds like. There is a one of the Tayag Mitzvahs HaTorah is that the Kohanim should eat the Kodshei Kodoshim. Achatas and Oshem, Shiori HaMincha, these are all Kodshei Kodoshim. So these are counted as Mitzvahs in the Sefer Mitzvahs L'Ramam, the other Sefer Mitzvahs, a Mitzvah to eat the Kodshei Kodoshim. What about Kodshim Kalim? So Kodshim Kalim doesn't necessarily have to be eaten by Kohanim, it can be eaten by a non-Kohen as well. So is that also a mitzvah, or is that only a heter? It's permissible. You're not allowed to leave it over. Noisa, okay, Lo Sisira may not break it because it will become nisal. So someone has to eat it in order that it won't become noisa. But is it just that you're eating it in order not to violate the Avera of Lo Sisira may not break it, or is it that you're eating it and you fulfill a mitzvah? Do you recite a bracha? Do you say, Asher Kedishon Ebe Mitzvah Sivitzivano Al Achilos Hazeva? You say a bracha al achilas hazevach. The last mishnah in Pesachim sounds like you're saying a bracha al achilas hapesach on Pesach night. Says Shekadoshim says al achilas psar hapesach and al achilas hazevach. That's what it sounds like. That you say shlamim, the chagigas harbaasa. is a korban shlamim. Sounds like you say a bracha as you're about to eat it. So it sounds like there is a mitzvah to eat shlamim. Sounds like there is a mitzvah to eat shlamim. Some Mepharshim learn now, though, that that mishnah doesn't go on achilos ha-pesach. That's what the Rashbam says. Some Mepharshim learn it goes on the kohen is makriv on erev pesach. The kohen is doing this vikas hadam. Hashem kedishonu b'mitzvos v'tzibanu lizrek dam ha-pesach. Hashem kedisham zotzon lizrek dam ha-zevach. Goes on the avodas on erev yom v'bayom. Doesn't go on achilos ba-layla. So do you say a bracha when you're about, when you eat korban pesach? That's for sure you say a bracha. That's a mitzvah. Every Jew has to eat a kazayis of korban pesach. Is it really a mitzvah to eat shlomim? It's not an obligation to eat shlomim. You're not obligated to eat a shlomim. If you don't want to, you don't have to. You just have to see to it that it should be eaten, not to violate los asirim men abek. But is it really a mitzvah that requires a bracha? Questionable. So there is a gemara m'sachim. And it seems like Rav Zalbal Soloveitchik writes in the Sefer HaChumash, he takes it that this is a machlekes, the Rambam and Rashi. The Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvah, Sinishke Mitzvah. The Rambam thinks only Achilas Kochi Kochim, Ayidei Zichre Kuna, that's a mitzvah. Because the Chatos and the Yosham and the Shiori HaMincha have to be eaten by Zichre Kuna in the Azore. So it's like an Avoidah. That a Kohenis is not allowed to do the Avoidah. So she's not allowed to eat the Chatos and the Yosham. When the Kohen Zohar eats it, the Gemara has an expression, Kohanim Ochlim Ubailim is Kaprim. The Achilas HaKohanim is like an Avoidah, like Zvika Saddam. This is one of the Avoidahs. The Gemara says, it's not Liakev. If it's Nitmo, let's say the Basa will be Nitmo, the Basa will be Neva, it will get lost. But then the Gemara says, the Korban will be Kosher. So most of the Rishonim assume, Huadinami, let's say the Basa was Lein Nitmo and Lein Neva, the Kohanim just didn't bother to eat it, they just left it there, and they allowed it to become Nisa, they violated the Aveil HaSasir Menadoiker, and the Bisar HaChatos and the Osham was never eaten. So most of the Rishonim assume that you still Yotze the Mitzvah, that Achilos HaKohanim is not Me'ake. And the Goyim had a Girs in the Gemara and Yivamis on Daf Tzadik, that Achilos Kohanim is Me'ake, Kohanim Ochel Mabalim is Kapim. If the Basa would be Nitmo or Ovad, so no more mitzvah to eat it. But if the basa is sitting in front of us in the azar and it's tahor, and the kohanim don't bother to eat it, so that's moshe l'mal davadim, that they have the dam and they're not zerg the dam. So you're not yotze. They take this. That's the way they had the girsa of the Rashbo. And you want the daf tzadik, amar al. Of course, this girsa is agoyim, that if the basa is there and the kohanim are obligated to eat it and they don't bother to eat it, so it's ma'akev in the kapara. The gemara says kohanim ochlum abaylum is kaprim. So that's the Rambam's opinion. That Achilas Kohanim, the Ram doesn't hold like the Goyim's Girsa, but the Ram holds Achilas Kohanim on Kochi Kochim constitutes a mitzvah. Achilas HaYisraelim on the Kochim Kalim is permissible to eat, but it's not the mitzvah. It's just Aloy says, so you serum and Abeki. You have to seek with it, someone eats it, you shouldn't allow it to become nice. And Rashi writes on the Gemara, Mstochim, based on the Pasuk of Trey Sedwit that speaks about a Shlomim, so it says on the Shlomim, for ochlu osam asher krupa bohem, the bnei Aharon should eat the shlamim. The Rashi says, from this pasuk you see that there's a mitzvah to eat kachim kalim as well. Now, Rashi is a big problematic Rashi, because Rashi on today's Sedra points out, in connection with that pasuk, for ochlu osam asher krupa bohem, lamale yas yadma lekaidr shayisam vizar lo yechol ki kodeshem. A non-koyin, vizar lo yechol, is not allowed to eat the shlamim. Why? Ki kodeshem. Because these shlamim are kachim kachim. Normal shlamim is kachim kalim, but zivchei shalmei tzibur is kachim kachim. It says someone is on the kaimen. Zivchei shalmei tzibur v'asham say lahen hasham says kachim kachim. Shlamim is the one and only carbon that splits. Sometimes it's kachim kalim, sometimes kachim kachim. If it's a shalmei yochid, it's a kachim kalim. If it's a shalmei tzibur, it's a kachim kachim. So normally there's only one shalmei tzibur all year long. That's the kivsei atzeres. The two shlamim that are brought on Shavuot, atzeres and Shavuot, have the status of Zidche Shamitzi, but that's Kochi Kochi. But Rashi points out on this Chumash, on this Pasuk in Tetzaba, V'yachla Os Mashkupa Pahem, V'zar L'yachol Ki Kodesh, that means that it's Kodesh Kodoshim. It's a Shamitzi Bur. This was only Ohi Roshah, once in the history of the world, they brought these Karbonis, in the Shilas Himei Amaluim, so this was a Shamitzi Bur. So because it was a Shamitzi Bur, it also had the status of Kochi Kochi. So Akin Rashi and Psochim derive from this Pasuk, that there's a mitzvah, that by all kachim kalim there's a mitzvah, sachilos habaylim. No, there's a kachim kachim over here, there's not kachim kalim. It's a pella. Rashi quotes this pasuk. Rashi in Pesachim quotes this pasuk to indicate that there is a mitzvah of of achilas habayle manikotchen kalim. It doesn't make a difference. What's the difference? It's not an ironclad proof. You can read it like the Rambam says, no, the mitzvah Rashi, that didn't occur to Rashi. That there's a difference between kochen kochen and kochen kalim. Rashi's only asking, by zichrei kun, it says they have to eat. By the Bible, it's just an Easter. Where does it say that there's a mitzvah on the Bible? They say, here's a pasuk, it's a mitzvah on the Bible, carbon, to eat the carbon. This is kochen kochen, and that's kochen. What's the difference? Rashi couldn't even conjure up in his mind the halamina to distinguish between. And the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvah holds not so. The Aruch HaZok also holds like that. The mitzvah of achilas kochim, he holds is only kochim kochim. There's no mitzvah on achilas kochim kochim. So according to the Rambam, you shouldn't say a bracha al achilas hazera. There's no mitzvah, it's just you don't need to say a bracha before you eat kosher food, asher Hashem sasana, not to eat non-kosher food. So what are you going to say, bracha? Al achilas hazevach, that we're not in violation of the Syrian men are. Break it. That's all I says. You don't say a bracha when you're about to shave with an electric shaver in order to avoid violating the issur of shaving with a razor. You don't say a bracha on that. So they shouldn't say a bracha when they're about to eat the shlamim. There's no mitzvah to eat shlamim, just not to violate the din of the Syrian. So that shouldn't warrant a bracha. So the Rambam will have to learn like those other Mepharshim. We say that the last Mishnah stuff and that talks about reciting the bracha, Birch al Hazevach, Birch al Pesach, doesn't go on Achilos Hazevach. It goes on Shchitas Hazevach. Shchitas Hazevach, that's Takamitz. That's an Avoda. This is an interesting, these Korbanos are interesting Korbanos. This was a Korban that's offered B'Shutzos by five Kohanim. Aaron, Nadab, Avi, Olozavi, Sama. All five together brought this special series of korbanos that are described in today's setting. What's taka the din normally? If a group of people donate one shlomim together, a shutfim, a korban ha-shutfim, there is such an institution, a korban ha-shutfim, so the Gemara has something special to say regarding tenufa and regarding smicha. The Gemara says, Reuben and Shimon bring a korban together, shlomim together. So they can't both do smicha at the same time on the same part of the animal. Smicha is done on the head with both hands. You know, it says, Samach as Yodo. The Gemara learns out that the Mishnah says you have to be Samach Pishteyadan. So the head of the animal is not big enough to put four hands on it. So if I put my two hands, Reuben and Shimon, I'll bring in a korban shlom and bishutvis. So one does smicha and then the other guy does smicha. Because we'll do smicha bevasachas, your hand will be a chatzitza between my hands and the korban. And the Gemara says that'll pose a problem. Because it's a din of chatzitza by smicha. That's what it says in the Gemara. So, a korban ha-shutzim, each one does smicha b'zeach hazeh. What's with the tenufa? Let's say you have a korban that has a cause of a shok, the shlomim, so you have to do tenufa. So how do you do the tenufa? So the Gemara says, korban ha-shutzim, echad meinef ha-yidei kulam. They can't do tenufa over v'asachas, it'll be a chatzitza. Your hand with my hand, it'll be a chatzitza in between the my hand and the cause of a shok. So the Gemara says, so let's do tenufa b'zeach hazeh, like you do smicha b'zeach hazeh. So the Gemara says, no, we learn out from a pasuk that you only do one tenufa. So one of the shutfim, if you have two shutfim or ten shutfim, so one shutfim does the tenufa echad meinef ha'idei kulam. One does tenufa on behalf of all of them. So here the pasuk says beferish that they all participated in the tenufa. The pasuk says that Aaron and the four sons brought all the dishlamim, that says they all did the tenufa. And it says they all did the smicha. So the Ravid writes in his Pirush on the Torah's Kohanim, Parasha Shmini, when it says that they brought these tzav and shmini, that they brought all these special korbanos for the Chanukas HaMizbeach and for the Chanukas HaKohanim. So the Ravid writes, they probably did it b'zeach hazeh, in order that it shouldn't be a violation of the issue of chatzitza. So Avel Vela Soloveitchik quotes this Ravid in the Shurim on the Gemara, on Tzmura. In the first daf in Tmur, the Gemara quotes some of the dinim of the korban hashutim. Echad meinef ha'idei kulam kol echad tzomech b'fnei atzmo. So Rav Avila suggests maybe he says maybe he can say not like the Ravid. Maybe the pshat is like this: on a normal korban hashutim, a group of five people get together. They can't afford to pay. No one is that wealthy they should be able to afford a korban. So five people together chip in money and they buy one shlomim together. So really, they're five independent bialim. The fact that I'm a Bala Korban is unrelated to you. If I would have had enough money, I would have bought my shlomim without any shutter. Happens that five people together, joined together, each one is an independent shutter. So if you'll have everybody do tenufa, do smicha, bevasachas, your hands will be a hatzitza with my hands. Over here it was a hayrashah that they can't all five bring five sets of karbanos. Aaron and the four sons who will be coming karanim, the Rabban Shlom said they have to be yaitzi with one set of karbanos, not because they can't afford it. They're not paying for it anyway. The Klal Yisrael is paying for it over here. So the halacha, and it's not in order to save money. The halacha says that it's one korban on behalf of all. So that's what Avalvala suggests. Maybe the hayrashah was that they treated like one big bailam. Not that each one is independent bailam, and his hands will be a hatzitz between my hands and the chaz of the shaykh. Maybe we treat all five as one bailam. Then maybe that's the reason why they all did the smicha bevasachas. And your hands wouldn't be a chatzitz between my hands and the carbon, because it's, we're all one big unit of a bailam. And maybe that's why they all did the tenufa. Normally a carbon ashutfim, only one echad meinafai de kulam. One does tenufa and the others don't have to. But over here, the halacha said that all five together constitute one bailam. So maybe all five did the tenufa together. Not like they're rivals. That's what Rav Avalvala suggests. Lule Dibri Haraivit, he would have suggested that all five did the tenufa bevasachas and all five did the smicha bevasachas. He would have thought that it does mean that they did bezachas. The thing is usually assumed that the seven kanim of the menorah represent the sheva chochmas. That the rabbis in the morning do not discourage the students from studying secular studies in the afternoon. I don't know how this crackpot woman got this crazy idea. She wrote a newspaper. The rabbis in the morning discouraged the students from going in the afternoon. Whatever you study in the afternoon is garbage. Maybe what she teaches is garbage. Maybe some courses are taka garbage. But we believe in the seven kanim of the menorah. There are sheva chokhmas. The Rabbi Shlom created this world, and all of the chokhmas give illumination. And if you want to understand Torah well, you have to know all of the chokhmas. But all of the chokhmas doesn't mean the nibble pen, secular literature. It doesn't mean the apikursis in philosophy and in history of Avodah Zarah. That's not from the sheva chokhmas. The sheva chokhmas are the chokhmas that the Rabbi Shlom created in the world. Physics and chemistry and mathematics and biology. These are the chokhmas. Some of the other things are not chokhmas. Just because a human being came up, just because God created the human mind came up with some shagas. So that means that everything is kodesh. Why? You never heard of people coming up with absolutely sheer shtus vehevel? Read all the magazines. Read all the nibble pen. People, of course, it's not a hechrech. The Gemara has a sugi in the first parak in Sanhedrin. The Gemara has a Rav Soloveitchik once delivered a shir on this agadata. All that Gemara has agadata. The Gemara has it. There was a pidgam amami. There was a folk saying that goes like this. And the Amoraim were searching through Tanakh to find, they thought that it was such a nice idea, they searched through Tanakh and they found the source in Tanakh. Then another folk saying, about 10 different Titgamim, Amamiim, so they found the sources in Tanakh. So you get the impression from the Gemara that the premise of all of the discussion was that if Klal Yisrael has such an idea, so it must be rooted in Tanakh, because we believe that the Malach teaches the Jewish children Kol HaTorah Kula before they're born. So if a religious Jew comes up with an idea, a lot of religious Jews come up with some idea, you assume that there probably is a source in Tanakh. It probably, if it's a nice idea, it's probably stemming from the Liman HaTorah that they have in their neshamas from before. But if a Nachri comes up with an idea, Eicha takes it that it's going to be something of significance. Just because a Shikara Goy wrote a poem, so it means it's going to have a value to it. Who says? Maybe yeah, maybe no. And if it has value, the stomach can find it in Tanakh. So what do you need? The whole idea of studying the other chokhmas are the things that don't appear in Tanakh. The biology, with the physics, with the chemistry, with mathematics, that's hard to find in Tanakh. The Tanakh knew how to find it in Tanakh. The Gemara says they can figure out issues of biology by darshaning. They had Midrash HaTorah and Midrash HaSnan to figure out how long the pregnancy of the different snakes is. The days of the Amoraim, they didn't have that ability, and Mizman HaZeh, for sure, we don't have that ability. We don't know all of these Midrash HaTorah and Midrash HaSnan. So we have to come on to all of the sheva chachmas of the world to help us understand the world better, to understand the Torah. You have to understand how everything fits in together. The same Bari Olam who created the world gave us the Torah. So there's going to be a connection between the two. That's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon. To the extent that a person is lacking And the Chachmas HaTeva, so to that extent he will be lacking many times over in the Liman HaTar, he won't fully understand her. But I don't think that it necessarily applies to the humanities at all. It goes on the real Chachmas. The Sheva Chachmas goes on the chemistry with the physics. Chachma Bagoyim Tamin, of course this Chachma Bagoyim, we're supposed to master that Chachma also. Okay.